my heart on them treasures last night, and I can't get off from them. It's going to sort of detour me a little bit, but I got to go because my heart's in it. We're going to dip down in to what we have in Christ again. And as I say, it'll send me off on another trail, probably, for the rest of the week. Because I want to preach tonight on making room. And if you ever find out what you've got in Jesus, you'll have to make room for it. There'll have to be some space, margin, in your life for what He's got for you. A lot of folks are trying to live off of what they think they're going to get from this old world. But that's not His intention. His intention is for us to live off of what we've got. Amen. In Him right now. An old fella back in the mountains working on a small engine for me, lawnmower. Just as a mountaineer could say, chewing his tobacco and love the Lord. And he was chewing away and he said, "Preacher, I think I've found out how to be a millionaire." I said, "Well, brother, I'm interested. How can I?" He said, "Well, I think the first thing you got to do is get $1 million. Again, not a lot of hope in what you think you're going to get. But oh, if you could anchor yourself in what you've got, it is that which will sustain you. Before I read the text, I would read 2 Peter 1, verse 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." Now, should we read that again? 2 Peter 1, 3, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things." How much? All things. And it said, "He hath given them unto us that pertain unto life and godliness." That's the resources of which He has given us for us to draw off from to live right now. Making no difference what the future holds. We know that we have everything we need right now to face the future in Christ. Because if you are in Christ, you are saved. As I preached last night, you have His grace. You have His peace. You have His love. You have all of His promises. You have the Holy Ghost. You have eternal life. And on and on and on and on is what we have, not what we're going to get. Somebody said, "But ain't we going to get heaven?" No, you already got it. You're seated in the heavenly places. You got it. Had a preacher tell me a while back, I said, "I can't wait to experience eternity." I said, "You don't have to. You got it. If you're in Christ, you have eternal life. Eternal things are happening in you right now." And we're going to notice this widow woman whose husband suddenly passes off the scene, a prophet, dies, leaving her in debt. The collectors have come to collect, and if she does not pay, then make bondmen out of her sons. And the only hope that she has in mind is that maybe she could go to the old prophet and he could get together something that might help her out in this ordeal. Let's read the text. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. 2 Kings 4. Sorry about that. Verse 1. You might have to trust me on this one. That's what preacher told me one time. He said, "Preacher, I forgot my Bible." I said, "Well, trust me tonight. Trust me." Now they cried. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord." They no doubt were acquainted. "And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" In other words, well, what do you got? What do you have? I'm talking about making room for what you got. And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot." Boy, don't we underestimate what we've got of oil. "Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out." Pour out of what? What you got. "Into all those vessels, out of what you got. And thou shalt set aside that which is what? Full." So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now she didn't think she had anything to pour out. "And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And they all stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and what? Live, thou and thy children of the rest." Now I just want to step down through here, not with an outline, but with some thoughts concerning this matter of getting or making room. Not for what you're going to get, but for what you already have in Christ. We notice in this text that this precious woman goes to get. She does have a serious need. And it is her hope that the prophet Elisha, who has performed so many miracles, twice the miracles of Elijah, that surely there will be something he can put together that would be the answer to her ordeal. She goes to get. But did you notice that the prophet gives her nothing? You would think a man of this stature would get the prophets together, the school of the prophets, and at least take up an offering for her. The truth of the matter is $20 is not going to sustain her. $100 is not going to achieve the goal. This man of God is so wise in that he realizes that if he gives her anything, what he gives her will forever blind her to what she's got. The truth of the matter is, we may wonder in our pursuits why God stands between us and so much that we think we need to get. But the reason is, He wants you to ponder on what you've got. And so she finds out that which she has overlooked, and it is small. That which she has thought to be so little, and it is little. That which is insignificant and has been up to this point, as she goes to get, now for the first time she realizes she's already got it. She goes to pursue to get what she has. That little cruise, that little bowl, that little cup, that little bit of oil that she has, that pot that is up in the cabinet. She goes, as I say, to get. But thank God is made aware that it already exists.
Yes.
And it is in her possession.
Amen.
It is hers. Oh, to wake up and find out that the greatest and most profound thing that can happen in your life is not a discovery of what you think you're going to get, but an understanding and enlightenment of the fullness of what you already have.
Amen.
She goes to get what she's already got. She doesn't have to get it. She's had it all along.
Oh, yes.
Well, haven't we found ourselves in those positions to where we feel like we are so helpless and so poor and so needy that we go to pursue the answer, not knowing that the answer is already there. She goes to get, are you seeing that? Goes to get what she's already got, but the man of God would not aid her, and in so doing hinder her from finding out the magnitude of what already exists in her life. Oh, God driving us, God letting us understand what we have in His Word, what we have in the power of prayer, what we have in the Holy Ghost, what we have in the promises.
Yes. Oh, yes.
What we have. Hudson Taylor, inland missionary ministry, many, many, many years ago, wrote to his wife, who was also in China, died. They both died in China. Wrote to his wife and said, all that we have in our account, as I have checked it, in our account, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. Woo! And oh, did he live off of those promises that he daily found out that he had in Christ. Don't you like it when the Lord turns the light on and revives you in those promises? She goes to get what she's already got. It is hers. The second thing I would emphasize in this matter of making room for what you've got in Christ. Is she now finds out that what she's got will meet every need she has in fullness. Again, she did not see it, though she had it. She did not know it, though she had it. She did not recognize it, though she had it. But now she's going to find out. Now she is going to experience what she has to the fullest sense, and knowing that impossible things can happen out of what you got if you ever find out what you have.
Yes. Amen.
That it will meet the need and it will be more than enough.
Amen.
Now, I would say it this way. Any need that you will ever have in the future, the answer to it and the meeting of that need will be connected to what you've got right now. Think about it. Think about it. Every need you'll ever have, good news, it'll be met over what is present tense in your life. Because that is the reservoir of which he intends for you to draw from, is what he has given you. Now, I would illustrate that in my own life. When I first moved to the mountains of North Carolina, Esther and I moved back up there after going to Bible college. We rented a little house, and the agreement was that we would pay a lower amount of rent if we'd fix anything that broke. Please don't ever do that. You're asking for trouble.
Yes, Lord.
We moved in, and the first thing that went out was the kitchen faucet. Now, that may not seem major nowadays, but there were no Walmarts anywhere nearby. Credit cards, I don't even know if they existed. I didn't know. I never had one. And if you're 21, 22 years old and just got married back then, you just broke. That's all there was to it. You just broke. But we had a general store a few miles up the road that I had stopped in a time or two during the course of dating her, and then even while I lived there, going in and out of it. Joe Howe's store doesn't exist now. You could go in there and find just about anything, and I noticed people were buying things on credit. They just write it down on this little pad, and you pay for it at the end of the month. I told Esther, I said, I'm going to go up there. I didn't know Joe. He didn't know me. I'd seen him in there. And I'm going to ask Joe Howe if he will let me get a faucet on credit, and I did so. I didn't use a preacher card. I didn't tell him I was a preacher. Just went in. I said, Mr. Howe, I moved in down the road here, and my faucet went out. I ain't got no money. I was wondering if I could get one on credit and pay you at the end of the month. And that was by faith. He was milking his tin. I knew he'd been had several times probably, and think he was thinking about that. And about that time, I heard a voice just down the aisle. A man was on his knees. He was stocking in the store. Later found out his name was Jim Rose, and he was the manager of the store. He's the one that took care of it for Joe. I did not know him. He later got saved at my church years after that. But he spoke out while the silence was there and Joe was milking his chin. He said, Joe, that's a young preacher boy right there. You let him have that faucet, he'll pay for it. If he don't, I will. I walked out of there with a faucet not knowing that the reason why I got that faucet was because of what I had, what God had already given me. Because what God had given me when he saved me when I was 14 years old was the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I memorized John 3:16, and I felt like I had to tell the whole world. So I would go and preach there in Cleveland. I'd get me one box, put it on top of another box, and I would preach. I didn't know anything, but I could quote John 3:16. A guy walked up to me one day. He said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "I didn't know the terminology. I hadn't been in church long." I said, "Well, no, I don't guess. I don't know. What's it take to be a preacher? I don't know." But I didn't know that the Holy Ghost that came in me put preach in me. And what had happened? At that young age when I moved to Spruce Pine, I thought, you know what? I'll go downtown at the great metropolis of Spruce Pine, if you've ever been there. And it was a Saturday afternoon, and I'm going to preach to these people. And I went down there, had it in my heart to preach a little bit to those people there. And I was preaching. But I didn't know that sitting across the street in a car was Jim Rose, the same guy waiting on his wife to come out of one of those stores shopping. And he later told me, he said, "Preacher, the way I found out you was a preacher is I was sitting in that car and I heard you preach." I said, "Hallelujah." I didn't realize God called me to preach was going to get me a faucet. But it did. It was connected to it. In some way, everything God has done for me has been connected to that book, connected to my faith, connected to the Holy Ghost, connected to Calvary, connected to the Son of God, connected to His... It's all, everything that I am is connected to the grace of God. And if He's put enough in me to get me 53 years, I think it'll get me the rest of the journey. Yes. I think I've got enough for the journey. Yes. Now you mark it down. Everything you'll ever need will be taken care of through the faith He put in you, through the grace He put in you, through the Holy Ghost He put in you, through the promises that He put in you. I'm talking about spiritually and physically. Everything will be connected to what you've got. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you can rest in that? She goes to get what she's already got, and then hallelujah, finds out that what she's got meets every need. Woo! I ain't counting on no stimuluses to take care of me. I'm thinking about what came out of Christ in Calvary. Amen. What poured into my soul. The sufficiency to meet every need. Yes. Mm. Now, we're just walking down through there. She goes to get what she's already got, finds out what she's got is takes care of every need. But understand this. It was the need that drove her to what she had. Had there never been though this death, this filled no doubt with sorrow and with bereavement in the depth of darkness, it is through that event that she finds out and discovers the wonders of what she's got. You'll never know what you got until God takes you to a place to where He can turn the light on and show it to you. Our salvation came out of a man of sorrows. And honey, it's when you are driven to your knees that you find out prayer works. It's when your heart is so disturbed that you find out the power of the Word of God. It is in this day of COVID-19 that it has opened up a new appreciation in my heart for the family of God.
Yes, oh yes.
It ain't done nothing but drive me to Him.
Yes.
Just as the sheep, when the wolf begins to growl, it drives that sheep to the shepherd. And yes, there will be tears and there will be heartaches, as the song said. But thank God it's in the midst of that that there comes this awareness, and you are driven to the depths of what you realize you're going to have to draw off of what you got, because there's nothing else that'll meet the need. The shallowness of trying to get this need met with a job or looking to someone else to meet this need ain't going to work. You better look around and find out what God's already given you, because I promise you that's where you find the meeting of the need. Amen. Going to get what she's already got. Well, I'm glad for what I've got. What she's got meets every need in the fullest sense. But it took the need to drive her to what she has. I thought about the Apostle Paul. That thorn in the flesh. And he cries out to God on three occasions. And I noticed God didn't give him anything. He just told him what he had. He's the preacher of the mystery of grace. God gave him that truth of grace. And Paul's crying out and he's saying, God, that thorn in the side that the devil, that messenger of Satan's putting in me, I don't know what to do about it. And God all about said, grace, Paul. And he cried out again, oh God, I don't know what. Grace, Paul. On three occasions, and God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Yeah. And he already had it. Yeah. Oh, that love he put in you, that grace he gives you, that peace that's planted, I'm telling you, it's there, but you've got to be made aware of it.
Amen.
By the way, you'll never know anything about the amenities that are in Christ if you don't know Christ. But oh, if you come to Him, you get all of that. That comes with it. Now, experiencing, it's another subject. Experience is another subject. And that's why He has to let us be taken into some harsh places, so that we can realize what we've really got. I remember the disciples, you know, they said to Jesus, I don't know what their, you know, what level they were on in spirit. Maybe they were just, they saw him pray and they wanted to pray like him. And they said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? But you know the thing about that, if you're going to ask him to do something, then you're going to have to go through what it takes to get that done. And when they asked Jesus to teach him to pray, you saw where Jesus prayed, didn't you? In the wilderness? In the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed in those isolated places from the cross. He said, don't worry about it. I'll teach you to pray. Come with me. We're going to the garden. I'll show you how to pray from there. Because you can't really pray unless you pray from there. That's where you find out what prayer is all about. Or he said, well, come on, let's go to the place of sacrifice where I cried out to my Father. And I'll teach you something about prayer. Come on here in the wilderness. I'm going to show you where we can pray. I'm saying to you that there is so much beyond measure that is ours in the treasures that are in Christ. But oh, there has to be the driving to that. To the place that we will not take His word for granted, that we will not take prayer for granted, that we will not take our fellowship with the saints of God for granted, but that we will be made aware of our own personal needs, not of what we're going to get, but what we got. Matter of fact, I'm going to take a step on this out, maybe on a limb, to say that God, when we come together like we're coming together, He ain't interested in giving you anything. He's interested in showing you what y'all already got.
Amen.
If you've got Him. And honey, that's what revival is.
Yes.
That'll send you out here saying, thank you, Lord. She got back home. On the way home, I met somebody and said, what did that prophet do for you? What did he give you? Nothing. You mean tell me you went down there and they didn't even take you up a Baptist offering? No. Said, what did they do? Thank God made me aware of what I've got. And you haven't found out what you got. You won't have room for anything else anyway. You'll have to make room for what you got. She goes to get what she's already got. Finds out what she's got, meets every need, but it is the need that drives her to what she's got. Talk about these treasures in Christ. Now look down with me in verse number 7. Even before I get there, we're talking about the oil, of course, representative of the Holy Ghost and all that is entailed in that. But you know, even on the physical level, once she finds out what she's got, it reveals to her that she's got more than she ever thought she had on every level. Did you hear what the man of God? Now we got this is connected to the oil, but look at what she's got even on the physical level. Her husband dies, but he left her something greater than money. He left her a connection to God. She said to her boys, I know where there's an old prophet that daddy used to hang around with. And we're going to go down there and we're going to talk to him. Oh, aren't you glad for the godly connections in your life that you've got? I come to this place and I feel like, you know what? It wouldn't matter to me if I never preached. All I want to do is listen to the singing, listen to Brother Lester open up and close and listen to y'all pray. Because there's just something about it.
Amen.
That just stirs me up. Because every bit of it says to me, this is what you've got. You do know you have this. Oh, I almost forgot about that. Oh, I got that. Oh, I've already got that. You get somebody rejoicing and praising God. And I'm going to tell you something. You go to those, the saints that I love to talk to, the greatest are those that have been down the road and faced some really hard times. But in the midst of it, they'll look you in the eyes and say, here's what I found out that I had. Connection to the God. But not only did she have that, he told her, said, now on your way back home, knock on every door and borrow pots and pans, not a few. Now you understand vessels in those days were hard to come by. You didn't have a Walmart to run out and buy one. The potter made them and so on like that. So people, they were precious to them in their livelihoods on every level. But from the text, every door she knocked on, they said, oh yeah, yeah, I got one in. You can take my biggest vessel, you can take this vessel, you can take that vessel. You know what that said? She must have had some friends. Somebody said to her, boy, I'm going to tell you, it must have been really bad when your husband died. She said it was, but I found out I had some real friends. Wow. You never know about your family, your kids. You never know when you get in a hard spot which way they're going to run. But honey, I'm going to tell you, these two boys hung with her all the way down the end. They were carrying the vessels in. Witnessing what God was doing. It gave them an opportunity to see how much mama had in God.
Yes.
Children don't need us to sit around moan and groan, wondering about what we're going to get. They need to see us drawing off the resources of what we got in Christ. And that's what's going to help them.
Yes.
Mama, I'll get I'll get another bowl. I'll get that salt. I'll get it. I'll bring it, Mama. What about her faith? I don't know how much faith she had, but I'm going to tell you something. It took a lot of faith. And maybe she said, you know, I didn't know I had that much faith to believe that man of God and borrow all those vessels. That's going to be embarrassing if I get back to the house and I've got their vessels sitting around and all my furniture's out in the yard because I had to make room for it and ain't nothing in them. And then they come and get them and say, well, here, you take them. You didn't need them? Why did you come and get them? Well, I thought something was going to happen. No. She goes by faith. It took faith. She reaches up there and grabs that oil, that little bit of oil. And it took faith to just turn her wrist to see it feel the first one. And then the next one. And then the next one. And by then, she ain't got no problem, man. She just, whoa, look at this, boys. And the boys behind her said, hallelujah, Mama, look at that. We didn't know God could do that. Pouring out to the fullness out of what she had. Now she got more than what she thought. Now I know I've got these gots and gets all mixed up grammatically. But I do know my grammar. Because I went to the School of Higher Learning, West Virginia. The three R's there was reading, writing, and Route 77. She's going to get a job. You had to get out of town. But what I want you to know is, it's not the getting that counts. It's what you've got already that makes the difference. She goes to get what she's got. What she's got meets every need. But it took the need to show her what she had. But look, verse number 7. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil. Pay the debt and live. Woo. Thou and thy children of the rest. She didn't realize that what she had was going to make her an entrepreneur. She was going into business. Because he said to her, listen to this, in essence, what he's saying to her is, sister, what you've got, others need. I don't know how this transpired. I know the animals, God brought them to Noah to go on to the ark. And maybe God just led the neighbors to her house. And they knocked on the door. And they said to her, dear sister, my bowl that I loaned you, I ain't no hurry to get it back. I just wonder what you're doing with that. Oh, she said, I had to have containers to put oil in. She said, you got oil? Man, I need some oil. Can I get some oil off you? She said, sure, I got plenty. She said, where did you get all that oil? She said, well, I had it up in the cabinet. Really? She said, yeah, really. And person after person after person after person came to get what she had. See, the full truth is, what you have and what you've got's not just for you. God has given it to you because, I'm going to tell you, this old world needs what you've got. Your children need what you've got. Your neighbors need what you got. These sick folk we've been praying for, they need what we've got. And person after 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 person came because they needed what she had. It gives you new meaning in life to realize that what you've got makes you important in the kingdom of God for the work that he wants done. Think about that. How vital she has become for so many lives. And aren't you thankful that God has given you so much that you can use for his kingdom to touch the lives of others? Out of the bounty of what you've got. It's talking about preaching. I didn't realize that's what he put in me. It all just bubbles up, comes out, and I get to preach it. Went into evangelism 22 years now. But I told the Lord I didn't want to go. Everything, I wanted to stay. I wanted to live and die right where I was at. But he made me. But I said, Lord, I will go, but I will not make an announcement to any preacher. I will call no one and let them know that I'm going into evangelism. He answered me back so clearly. He said, you won't have to.
Amen.
I'll do that. And can I say to you, in 22 years, I have never picked up my phone to call anybody. But they call. And here's how it is. I often tell pastors, I say, don't have me just because you think you want to have me. And I'm saying this from a heart that wants to be used of God. I'm interested in going where they need what God has given me. It gives me great liberty to go into the place and realize that what I've got, they need.
Yes.
And they let me know that they need it.
Amen.
And for 22 years, it has not failed. That God has kept us busy, 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 if you will, because the phone will ring and they will say, Brother Dana, and this is not me. I'm just telling you what God gives you. Hey, this is not just me. This is you. God has filled you up with some things he wants others to have if you'll just realize it and draw from it.
Yes.
And they'll say, preacher, if there is any way you can come, if you have a weekend, you have a week. If you have a day, I don't care. We need you to come. And my greatest burden is not trying, and I say this humbly, to get a meeting. My greatest burden is I have to say no every week, two or three times sometimes. I just can't do it. But it blesses my soul to know that God took this little old sinner boy, saved him and filled him with the Holy Ghost and gave him something that somebody else needs. Woo! But that's not just me. All those folks that need your prayers, they need your love. They need your compassion. They need this kingdom of God that's in you. This treasure that abounds in you is not just for you, but it's for others. She goes to get what she's got. What she's got meets every need. There's a need that drove her to what she's got, but she finds out now that what she's got, others need. Others. Aren't you glad God has you here for a purpose? Somebody said, but these are dark days and look what's happening in Washington. All the God! He'll drive us to what we've got. And the only thing they can do in Washington is drive us to what we've got. We've been spoiled in America. We don't half know what we don't know a smidgen of what we have in Christ. But honey, when they come hunting us down, and they may do so, just start finding out what you got. But you're going to find out what you got is enough for the journey. Boy, those are some treasures, aren't they? Getting what you got. And somebody said, what do you mean she made room? I mean, if she filled up, she didn't. I mean, I can hear her say, boys, take the chairs outside. We're going to have to move it. Take the table also. Get that couch and put it outside. We ain't got room. She found out what she had. She had to make room. Well, you have to make room in your life for what you got. For what you got. I was preaching in North Carolina years ago as a young man, and the pastor told me after service, said, we're going to go eat with a family, and they're a great family, said, they're stable, been in the church for years, a great blessing, but said, the man's got in his mind, he's going to win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, $3 million. And said, I wanted to forewarn you because he's going to tell you. I said, well, okay. So we went and ate a sumptuous meal. I enjoyed it. Everything was seemed sensible, sound, nothing out of the way. He finished the meal, pushed his plate back, pushed back from the table, and he turned to me and he said, now, brother, preacher said something I want to share with you. I said, okay. He said, the Lord is going to let me win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. And he said, I'll tell you why. And here's how he worded it. He said, because when I get that $3 million, said, my church has some debt. I'm going to pay it off when I get it. It's awful easy to talk about what you're going to do on something you think you're going to get. You ever heard men stand around? I have, and said this. If a man had, here's what he could do. That means you ain't going to do nothing. You ain't got it. But he said, I like missionaries. When I get that, I'm going to take on some missionaries when I get it. I think the Lord would probably say to us, well, what are you doing with what you got? Amen. That may take care of all I need, the Lord would say. He said, but now only one thing I ask of you. He said, I want you to pray that I win that Reader's Digest sweepstakes $3 million. I shouldn't have done it. But I couldn't help it. I looked at him and I said, sir, to be honest with you, I'm being honest with you. If I had faith enough to believe that I could pray and you would win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes $3 million, I wouldn't pray for you. He said, why? I said, I pray for me. As he had told me, he said, and I like your preaching, said, I'm gonna give you, when I get it, I'm going to give you $30,000 and I'm going to buy you a car. I said, well, why would I want $30,000 in a car when I can pray and get the $3 million? Well, you can walk tall on what you think you're going to get and talk big on what, but God's interested in us living a life off of what we got that others can see. They want to see you walking right now with what you got in Christ. The old farmer, they sold the land across the road from his farm and built a housing development. After his daily chores in the evening, his meal, he'd go out there and sit on the porch and he'd watch. They finally got that big house built just across the road. Huge house. And they began to move in. It took them a week and a half or two to move in. They moved in all the furniture for all the rooms. And then they had to bring the cars and the truck and the boat and the jet skis and motorcycles. And they brought everything. And they finally got it all moved in. And he waddled across the road, his bibbed overhauls. Walked up, introduced himself, shook his hand, and said, I live just in the farm over there. I was raised there. It was my daddy's farm. And said, I was watching, and I saw you moved in over here, and I wanted to come and welcome you to the community. But he said, there's one thing I want to say to you. If there's anything you ever need, I mean anything you ever need, he said, now listen to me. You're my neighbor. If there's anything you ever need, if you'll come across the road to my house, I'll show you how to live without it. Well, I'm here to tell you there's some things you can live without. But God never intended us to live without what He's given us. Making room. Not for what you're going to get. What you've already got in Christ will be more than enough. I say this and I close. I got a little book a fella wrote. Told to be true. It was back in South Africa during the time of the discovery of diamonds. Everybody's getting rich discovering diamonds. And this fella got tired of beating the dust and trying to make a living off the farm, so he sold the little farm and he made the decision. He said, I'm going out to invest in things till I get rich. He went out investing in different things, but everything seemed to fall apart. And as was written in the book, he finally died in poverty. Meanwhile, there's a little family with three or four younguns. You can get the book, Acres of Diamonds. Had four or five younguns, and they'd play out in the backyard, and there's some wet sand out there, and they just dig down in and have a big old time. And they began to find what looked like crystals, little stones. And they brought them in the house. Of course, they was all ignorant of it, and this country folks, and they get to competing on who'd get the biggest little rock, as they'd call it, and they'd put it on the mantle for the day. You got the biggest, you got the biggest, you got the biggest. And they come a traveling salesman, not having anything to do with diamonds, stones of any type, just a salesman. And while he was talking to them about trying to get them to buy something, he noticed those stones on that mantle. And he got to looking at him. He was not an expert in it. But he had been around it enough to know that there was money in diamonds and that these could be diamonds. And he said to that family, he said, do you know where did this come from? He said, all the kids play out in the backyard and they think it's big. Who finds the biggest one each day and they'll bring them in here. He said, sir, I don't know for sure, but you need to take these and have these tested. Because you may have some diamonds. Oh, he said, I don't think that's diamonds. You should try it and see anyway. Long story short, he took those diamonds, those stones, had them examined, and that's exactly what they were. He was a multimillionaire overnight. And the emphasis of that little book of Acres of Diamonds was how that a man gave up everything he had to try to get. And lost it all. And I want to say to you, you got more than acres of diamonds in Christ. Amen. You already got it. But get it. Getting what you